All right, so we're beginning the fifth parak, Memah Morales. Continuing on the topic of birth, about the Tumah and Tara of the day of after a woman gives birth. Mishnah says, Yotze Doifin, a baby that was born by C-section, in Yoshvin Olav Yimei Tumah Vimei Tara, you don't have the regular Yimei Tumah, 7 or 14 days, or the regular Yimei Tara, 33 or 66 days. If so, in other words, all it is if blood comes out through it vaginally, or if the womb opens extra, then
it's a C-section.
It's a C-section, exactly. Yeah, Rashi describes over here a sam niftachume avoytir seuber. Rashi describes they use the sam, some kind of potion or some kind of medicinal, some kind of, I don't know. Whatever it is, I mean, it could have been that they used some kind of acid that would dissolve Sam Rashi uses the expression, some kind of strong medicine that's able to open, some kind of strong potion or whatever that's able to open it up. Or it could be that they'd cut, I don't know. I mean, the Rambam actually has an interesting thing in Pirush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah. He says that a woman could have a C-section, fine, such things have been done. But that the Rambam says people have said, and maybe he means commentaries on the Gemara, I don't know, have said that afterwards it could be possible for her to become pregnant again and have another baby. He says, the Rambam says that's impossible. I don't know how such a thing could ever be possible. Obviously, nowadays it's not like that, well, with modern medicine, but yeah. Okay, anyway. So anyway, Ein Yoshvin Olav Yimei Tumah Vimei Tahara. Well, usually I guess the idea would be she'd usually be expected to die not long afterward because of infection or whatever. I suppose it could have happened. Occasionally they managed to do one and have her survive afterwards. I mean, they had medicinal plants of various kinds. They could have found something that has antibiotic properties. I don't know. No idea. Anyway. I mean, Rashi right here on the Mishnah says, they sam niftachu me'er, they used some kind of potion to open up her insides. Vayitzius over lechutz, they took the baby out. Venisrafis, and then
through the bowel.
Me'er just means in general her innards. So it means basically they opened up some part of her body wall. Vayitzius over lechutz, they took out the baby. Venisrafis, and then she healed afterwards. Okay, anyway, and Yoshvin Olav Yimei Tumah Vimei Tahara. So the Mishnah says she doesn't have Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara after such a birth. So if blood came out vaginally, then of course she's Tomei from that, as Nidor or Zava, as the case may be. If there was Psichas HaKever, then again, those who hold like the Rambam Epshel of Psichas HaKever B'lo Dam would say then there's no issue with that.
You expect to take a child from the uterus without cutting the uterus?
Psichas HaRechem, Psichas HaKever means the regular cervix, and the cervix opens up and the baby is born vaginally.
Not the uterus?
No, I mean, Psichas HaKever means specifically the regular opening of the uterus, not a side opening that you just created. But we're going to see in the Gemara another point about Makru Mekoyim Tomei. We'll get to that later on Memala. Anyway, the Ein Chayovin, so you don't have Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara for it. The Ein Chayovin Olav Korban, and she's not Chayav to bring a Korban after such a birth. Reb Shimon says, no, Hareza Kiyolud, this is considered like a regular birth. She does have Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara, and she does have to bring the Korban.
Okay,
well, you see, Halacha is like a Chacham. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Kolam Noshim Mekamis B'Vayis Achitim. When it comes to blood of Nidr or Zava, a woman always becomes Tomei. The blood doesn't actually have to leave her body. All it has to do is get into the Bayis HaChitzon, the outer area. So we're going to learn in the Gemara later on. We're going to talk about on the Malachim and Beis. We'll get to exactly what the Bayis HaChitzon is. So even though it hasn't flowed out yet, out of her body yet, she's still already Tomei. And we learned this back in the first paragraph. That was part of the reason behind the whole mass left concept. Because often you have that from when it first exits the uterus until it actually comes out and is visible, sometimes you can have some period of time. Okay. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Dom Yia Zoiva Biv Sara, because the Pasuk says, blood is her flow in her flesh, meaning even while it's still inside her, even while it's still in her flesh and hasn't yet come out, it's already mechanical. Aval HaZoiva Biv Sara. That's what it means. Biv Sara means in her flesh, yeah.
Inside.
Yeah, while it's still inside you. Aval hazova balkeri. We talked about a couple of weeks ago also that the word basar in these psukim can also be the Torah's euphemistic word for her genitals. So it means while the blood is still inside her genital area and hasn't come out yet. Okay. Aval hazova balkeri. But when it comes to a man who becomes tomei as a zova balkeri, hello, then it's not like that. They only become tomei when the tumor actually comes out of their body. So therefore, in other words, you have a man is a balkeri, semen is coming out. Until it actually comes out of the tip of his aver, then he's not tomei. And therefore, continues the Mishnah, hoya oicha b'truma, suppose you have a man is eating truma, a koyan is eating truma, v'hirgish shiniz dazu evarav, and he all of a sudden feels his limbs shaking. In other words, he feels that he's about to, that his zera has already been starting to come out and it's about to be ejected. So then, what does he do in order to prevent the truma? In order to prevent the truma that he's eating from becoming tomei, the truma that's still in his mouth, oichiz ba'amo veleyes a truma. He should hold on to the ama to prevent the zera from actually coming out, and then swallow the truma that's in his mouth. That way, because otherwise, if once the zera comes out, even the truma that's in his mouth is tomei, and then it's going to go to waste because it was already in his mouth.
Once his mouth is not considered like
no, it's not considered a part of his body anymore now. Once it goes beyond the base of Leah, yeah, once he swallowed it, then yeah, but here we're talking about it still in his mouth. We learned, by the way, in the second parak, we have the whole sugya over there about when you're allowed and not allowed to touch the aver, and we said this is one of the rare exceptions. Usually we would say a man's not allowed to touch that area anyway because I saw Zera, but we said over there, here we're anyway, and it's Dazu Evorah, yeah. Here it's already coming out anyway, then yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, Umitamin b'chol shehu, these various emissions of Shechvas Zera and Ziva, some of the Mephoshim say it also refers back to the blood earlier in the Mishnah, but are Mitamid, a person, b'chol shehu, no matter how tiny the amount, afilu ke'en hachardol, even if it's only the size of a grain of mustard seed, or b'pachas mikan, or even less than that. The tiniest amount is enough to be Mitamid.
What do we have? We need to add this. Mashehu is mashehu.
Yeah, well, you have to. Sometimes the word kol shehu has a minimum amount. We actually had earlier in our Masechta, we had an example where kol shehu meant where kol shehu meant a tefach. So sometimes.
No, but for an amount of food or something.
No. Here we're not talking about food. Here we're talking about as far as the volume of. No. Here we're saying as far as ziva and shechvas zera and then blood of nida. So all of them, you need to be told that there's a minimum. You need to be told there's no minimum size. The smallest amount of it is enough to be metame him or her. Yeah.
So smaller than
a grain than a mustard seed. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. I'm going to mani by patish. My time I did a bomb. Why did the Rabbanan say that this woman who had a baby by C-section, that she doesn't have Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tara, and she's not bringing a korban? Why not? The reason is, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar. The Pasuk says, when a woman gives seed and gives birth to a boy, meaning the word tazriya means, ad shetelet v'mokam shei mazraf. It has to be that she gives birth from the place in her body where she produces seed, where she gets fertilized in the first place, namely vaginally. So therefore, if the baby is not born vaginally, then it wasn't b'mokam shei mazraf.
Tumah.
Exactly. So then, all the rules that it says there in the pesukim that she has 7 days of tumah or 14 for a girl and 33 days of tara, 66 for a girl, and that she has to bring a korban, all of that is prefaced by isha ki tazriya. So if there's no tazriya, which in this case it wasn't because she didn't give birth b'mokam shei mazraf, so it was through the body. There was, obviously, but we know that. Obviously, in order to be the Yolda Zachar, there had to be Tazria earlier. So the fact that the Torah uses the word Tazria teaches us that it has to be, the eventual birth has to be, as the Chachamim are saying, has to be in the same way that Tazria in the first place. The same opening through which the Hazra, through which the fertilization was done in the first place, that's the same opening that the baby has to come out through. Rav Shimon. Now, what does Rav Shimon say to that?
That's
a Tanakama. Rav Shimon, we said in the Mishnah, disagrees and says that it is considered like a regular baby. So what does he do with that word, Isha Tisazria? He says, He says, no, I learn a different din from that, which we learned back in the third parak. That he says that, let's say you have only a shilya, an amniotic sac, placenta, whatever came out, you don't find an actual baby with it. So we said the Tanakama over there said that the house that where the birth took place is Tomei anyway, because there's obviously a baby there, ain't shilya boy Vlad, and just we can't recognize it because it's mixed up with all the fluids. Rav Shimon had said that no, afilu lo yolda elkein she zriya ima Tomei aleda, that even if she only gives birth to a baby which is in liquid form, whether the baby got liquefied, similar to the original original zera. The original zera that fertilized her was liquid, and now what comes out also is liquid. So we said over there, Rav Shimon says the house is tahor because nimud kavlad, because the baby dissolved, and therefore there's no baby there. But we said in the Gemara there that he agrees that the mother is tamei from the birth. This is where he learns it from Isha Ki Sazria. So he's using the word Isha Ki Sazria for a different purpose, not to teach us that it has to be Mimakim Shemazras, but to teach us that if it was a liquefied baby, then she's Tomei later. The Chachamim don't need it. Once the Chachamim say the house is Tomei, obviously that it means they don't even hold of the concept of Nimurik. They say the baby, even though it's liquefied, is considered 100% a baby and is even Matame the house. So of course she's Tomei from later. You don't need a different pasuk for that. Okay. Fine. Reb Shimon my time. So next we have to ask, though, what is Reb Shimon's reason? Okay, he has his way of darshaning Isha Ki Sazria for a different din, but where is he getting then in that case that a C-section should be considered a regular birth? The answer is Amar Ashlokesh Amakra Pelid, because he says, the Pasuk says, she gives birth, Vim Nekeva Kelid, Lurabit, Yotze Dothan, so it comes to include also the case, even if it was a birth by C-section, but it was for still a birth. Okay. The Rabbanon. Now, what would the Rabbanon answer to that? What are they doing with that word, Taylor? The answer is Haimi Boyle Rabbis Tumtum Van Rogen. They say we need that to be a different. We need that for a different deal. Even if she gives birth to a Tumtum Van Rogen, she still has the Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tachon. She has the Sufik, as we said before, because the Sufik is a boy or a girl. So you have the days of Tumah for a girl and the remaining days of Tahara for the boy. But the fact is, she still has Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara somehow or other. She still brings a carbon, so we need the word tailored to teach us that. Now, why do we need that? They would say to sakadai d'chamina. Otherwise, we would have thought to say like this: zocher nekeva kliv. After all, the psukim are describing if she has a zocher and if she has a nekeva, meaning maybe zocher vada nekeva vadois. It has to be a definite male or a definite female. V'lo tumtum vandrevenus kamash malon. And therefore, the chachamim would say that's what the word tailored teaches us is not like that. That in fact, it means even if it was a tumtum vandrevenus. Okay. So that's what the Chachamim are doing with the word tailor. Okay. So the question is, Rav Shimon, not Rav Shimon. So what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He also has to have some way of knowing that if she gives birth to a Tumtum Van Drogenus, that she has the Tum of a Tara and the Korban. So where is Rav Shimon getting it from? If he's using the word tailored to mean even a C-section, then where is he learning Tumtum Van Drogenus? The answer is Naskalem et Tani Barley Voi. He learns it from what Barley Voi taught. The Tani Barley Voi, Laben, Barley Voi, taught a Braisa that when the Pasuk says that after it mentions the Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara, it says if once the Yimei Tumah and the Yimei Tahara are over, Laben Oy Labas, is how it says in the Pasuk, for a boy or for a girl. Now those words are extra because we already know previously that we're talking about a boy and a girl. So Laben means Laben Mikol Makom. For a boy means any kind of boy, even if it's a Suffolk boy, which would be a Tumtum Andragonus. Labas Mikol Makom. And the word Labas means for any kind of daughter, even if it's a Suffolk. So therefore, Sir Shimon will learn it from that. The Rabbanon. Now, what are the Rabbanon? We're going back and forth over here. So what are the Rabbanon doing with the words Labeno Labas? So they would say, Haimi Boyle L'chayv Oko Benu, Benu L'chayv Oko Bas Labas. They say, from those words, Labeno Labas, we learn a different thing. Let's say she had a bunch of boys, or she had a bunch of girls. She has to bring a separate carbon for each one. Now, we don't mean, for example, she had twins, let's say. We mean, for example, that she had a baby, then later on she became pregnant again and had another baby, etc. So, well, you could have, for example, I mean, you know, she doesn't always, you know, you're not always going to have that she brings her carbon right away after the 80 days, right? I mean, the point of bringing the carbon is to make her allowed to eat kodshim again. So let's say she lives in some other part of Eretz Yisrael and she's not going anytime soon to the Beit Mikdash, then, you know, she could easily, you know, she could wait, let's say, you know, until she has
with a child.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So conceivably you could have, you know, she's got, you know, two or three or four kids now, and then she realizes, you know, I never did bring my carbonus. Let me bring them now. You don't. Yeah, whatever. Let's say Pesach's coming up, and I want to be able to eat the carbon Pesach, whatever. Yeah. So then, okay. Yeah, she can't eat the carbon Pesach if she hasn't brought her carbon because she's a mechutzah kapara. Yeah, so then in that case, so you would think that maybe she could bring one carbon and it would cover it all. No, the Chachamim say that's what we're learning from Labeno Labas, separate carbon for each one. Okay, but Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer to that? He also needs to know that din. So if he's using Labeinu Labas to teach us about Tumtum Androgynous, where is he learning that from? The answer is Naskele Mitatoni Tana Kameh de Reb Sheshes. He learns it from from a Braisa that a Tana taught in front of Reb Sheshes. The Pasuk says at the end of there, Zois Torah Tayeladis, it says this is the rule of the woman who gave birth. Now, that teaches us that she can bring one korban for many babies. Now, hold on. That doesn't mean that she had many different children, live children, that she can bring one korban for them. We'll get to what he means. You would think maybe even it means that she could bring one korban to cover both a birth and a ziva. Let's say, so at one time she gave birth. Let's say, for example, no, you could have a regular case, like we had in the previous paragraph of Yeledeth Vezoiv. So she was a Zava when she gave birth. So she gave birth to a healthy baby, but she was also a Zava at the time. She needs to bring a korban for the birth and a korban for the Zava. Maybe she could bring one korban for both. So the Gemara interjects a second. What do you mean? What's the logic to think that she could bring one korban for both things? Eli Yeledeth to Ochla Dam, Yeledeth to Ochla Chelev. So what are you going to say? Let's say, for example, you have a woman who gave birth who also ate blood, B'shogig, which makes her Chayav Achatas. Or she also ate Chelev, B'shogig. You're going to say, B'chad korban, Tiskila. You're going to think one korban would be enough? Obviously not. Yeledeth is one thing. Chelev is something else. Dam is something else. So what would be the reason? So why would we even think that she could bring one korban for Leda and Ziva?
The same
type of korban. No, it's still different, two different causes. I mean, the korban for Dam and the korban for Chelev is also the same kind of korban, and you still have to have a separate one for each one. No, so we have to fix up the wording of the Braisa. Ela yochol tovi al Leda shalifnei malois al Leda shalacham malois kachas. You would think that maybe she could bring a korban for a birth before Malois and a birth after Malois, that one korban for both. Malois means the days of Tumah V'Tahara, the 40 or 80 days for a boy or a girl, respectively. So in other words, if she had a baby in Tishrei, later on, so she finished off the 40 or 80 days, so that brings us to Cheshvan or Kislev, as the case may be. Later on, she became pregnant and had another baby. You would think she could bring full pregnancy, let's say, or a miscarriage, doesn't matter for our purposes. Either way, you would think she could bring one korban for both of them. No, Talmud Lema, Zois. Therefore, the pasuk says Zois, which means this one, meaning you have to have a separate korban for each one. So therefore, so we see from that word Zois, that you have to have a separate korban for any baby that was after Yemei Malois. Now, you do have, it is true, if the second one was miscarried within the Yemei Malois of the first one, then we learned in Christus, actually, then one korban will cover both of them. So let's say she had a girl. It has to actually be a case where it was a girl, because again, with a boy, you don't have enough time. You only have 33 Yemei Tara, and that's not enough time for a baby to form to the point where it would be considered a baby in Halacha in 40 days. But let's say she had a girl. Let's say she had a girl Rosh Hashanah. She has the 14 Yemei Tumah. Then after that, she's Tahor. She has relations with her husband. She becomes pregnant again. She carries the baby for 40 or a little over 40 days, and then she miscarries it. So now we're 54 or 55 or whatever days after she gave birth to the girl. That's still the Sotah Yemei Malois. Still within the 80 days after the girl. Therefore, those are both covered by the same carbon. Okay, so then Reb Shimon is learning from the word Zois. V'Rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon answer to that? They would say, yes, but so why do we need to learn it from the Labein Olabas? If we have the word Zois, can teach us that same din. They would say, no, Afal Gav Dichtiv Zois, Itzrich Labein Olabas. Actually, we need both. We need the word Zois and we need the word Labein Olabas, because each one is talking about a different case. Sakatai Dachamina, without the word Zois, you would think, Hani Mili Betrei Iburi. When are we saying that she can't use one korban to cover two babies? That would be where it was two completely separate pregnancies. So again, she gave birth. She became pregnant again during the Yemei Tahara, and then, like the example we just gave. Well, no, because the example I just gave was she miscarried during the Yemei Malois. Then it's true, only one korban is enough. But let's say, for example, a slightly different case. Let's say she had a girl Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks later, she has relations with her husband and becomes pregnant again. This one, she actually carries to term. So the birth is long after the Yemei Malois, because the birth is 9 months later in Tammuz. So you would say, okay, those are two completely separate pregnancies. You have one pregnancy where she had the baby in Tishrei, and another one where she's having the baby in Tammuz. So, of course, you have to bring separate korbanos to them.
Even if it's during these 80 days?
No. If it's during the 80 days, she doesn't have to. That's what we're saying. But if it's outside, no, she became pregnant during the 80 days. Yeah.
Are you saying that during the 80 days, it's still considered a separate pregnancy?
No, in other words, you could have, there could be a second pregnancy starting during the 80 days and also finishing during the 80 days because she miscarries. If that happens, then yes, she can cover both of them with one carbon. When she comes eventually to bring a carbon, it can be one carbon that covers the live baby that she had on Rosh Hashanah, as well as the stillbirth, the early, because it was all during the 80 days. But we're talking about, you could have, let's say, where she became pregnant, and she gave birth after the Yemei Melos. So it doesn't matter. It could be, for our purposes, it could be she became pregnant during the 80 days. It could be she became pregnant after them. It doesn't really matter. The point is, sure, then we would say, obviously, then we have the pasuk Lebeino Lebas that teaches us you need a separate carbon for each one. The words Dechad have a nasal over here. Marshal takes them out because you don't really need them. The point is, we're not talking about that one of the babies is stillborn. We're just saying that there were two separate pregnancies at different times. But the Chachamim say, suppose she had two babies at different times from the same pregnancy, Kigoin, as we have again the case that we've mentioned a couple of times in our Masechta, Yehuda B'chizki of Bnei Reb Chiya. We had the story with Reb Chiya where one baby was born after 7 months and the other after 9 months, exactly, but it was all one pregnancy. Amor B'chad Korban Sagula, the Chachamim say, you would have thought that one Korban would be enough for both of them. They both came from one fertilization, after all. Kamash Malan, therefore the Chachamim say, that's why you need the word Zois for that. So the Shimon is saying, so therefore you need both. You need Lebeinu Lebas and you need Zois.
So she'd have to bring two.
Well, if the twins were born at the same time, then no, she wouldn't necessarily. But here, where they were born some time apart, then she would.
Yeah.
So Zois is for what, according to
Chachamim? So Zois, according to Chachamim, would be for that case of Yehuda and Chizkiya. And Lebeinu Lebas would be for the regular case where you have separate pregnancies over a period of several months or years or whatever.
Two,
so the Chacham say you need two Lemudim to teach us.
Two twins that are coming very different periods of time.
Yes, so you need a separate carbon for each one. That's what we're saying.
Now this one gets a little clear to something earlier about Sylvia, where she's having us, let's say.
It's still Mimokim Shemazrach. Both Yehuda and Chizkiya were natural births.
Right, because they were together. There was there one time, there should be one carbon.
No, but because the fact of the matter is, the Yolda Zohar, she gave birth to a Zohar, and then later on she gave birth to another Zohar. And in fact, I mean, when you get down to it, they were 3 months apart. The second one wasn't even during the Yemei Melos of the previous one. If they had been during the Yemei Melos, then maybe you would say that one carbon is enough for both of them. But the second one, Chizkiya, Yehuda was born first, and then 3 months later, Chizkiya is born. So
8, 9, 10?
No. Seven, eight, nine. Chizkiya was born sometime during the seventh month, and Yehuda was born sometime in the seventh month, and Chizkiya was born in the ninth.
Two deliveries within Yemei Melos and have normal babies? It's impossible.
No, well, that's the thing. If it was two twins that were born at separate times. Remember, we learned at the end of No. First of all, you have the case of Yehuda and Chizkiya are an extreme case, where one was a 7 month baby and one was a 9 month baby. But you could have, we learned in the previous paragraph, we talked about the whole question, when during the ninth month could the woman have a baby? We said Shmuel and Chassidim and Rishonim said it's only always at the end of the ninth month. But we said that there are other opinions, such as Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, who says that you could have one at the beginning of the ninth month, you could have at the beginning of the ninth month as well. So you could have two babies that are both on a 9 month track, but one of them is born at the beginning of the ninth month, and the other one is born a couple of weeks later at the end of the 9 month. He's still within Yemei Melos of the first one, because he's still less than. But here we're talking about that.
For both in the same 9 months, would be one carbon or not?
Then maybe it would be one carbon. Yeah. Okay. So the Chachamim are saying we need both psukim, and therefore we can't say like you, Reb Shimon, that you have the word Lebeinu Lebas to teach us a different din about androgynous. So now we've covered what the Chachamim and Reb Shimon say with all the respective psukim.
So
in other words, it comes out like this. We said that the Chachamim are learning from Isha Kisazria that a C-section doesn't have Yemei Tumah V'Tahara. Reb Shimon is using that same pasuk for the case where the baby was dissolved, where she's Tomei later. The Chachamim don't need a pasuk for that, because obviously if the house is Tomei, then for sure she's Tomei. Then we said Reb Shimon is learning from Talid that a C-section is included. The Chachamim are learning from Talid Tumtum and Androgynous. Reb Shimon is learning Tumtum and Androgynous from Lebeinu Lebas. The Chachamim, meanwhile, are using Lebeinu Lebas to teach us separate korbanos for separate babies. Reb Shimon says that I learned from Zohar. The Chachamim say, actually, you need both Lebeinu Lebas and Zohar and Lebeinu Lebas and Zeus, rather, to teach us the two possible cases that she should need to bring separate korbanos in both cases.
And last case, you don't have to have that answer,
Quincy. So Reb Shimon doesn't need that. Reb Shimon would say, I don't care about that. I don't care whether it's during Malois or after Malois. I care if it's during Malois and only one, if it's after. But I don't care if it's after Malois. I don't care if it was separate pregnancies or one pregnancy. The fact is, if it's separate births outside Yimei Malois, and one pasuk is enough to tell me that you need separate korbanos for each one. Okay. Now, Reb Shimon will agree, on the other hand, now this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that a baby born by C-section, Reb Yehuda is considering it a regular baby, and therefore that his mother has Yimei Tum of Atara, and she brings a korban, Reb Yehuda will agree when it comes to animals of Kodshim, if an animal of Kodshim was born by C-section, then it doesn't have Kedusha. Meaning, Rashi says it doesn't have kedusha as a guf. It would only have kedusha as dummy. So therefore, you could be poyder even without a mum.
Sorry, again, last case.
We're saying like this. Reb Shimon is saying that as far as a human mother, a C-section birth is considered a regular birth. We're saying because you're learning from the word tailing. But he says not like that when it comes to kodshim. If you have, as we're going to discuss the cases over here, one possible case is, let's say, for example, you had a mother animal of Kodshim, and it was carrying a baby, and then you needed to do a C-section on it and take out the baby. The baby would not have intrinsic kedusha. Another example would be, you don't even need that, actually. Let's say, for example, in general, an animal born by C-section is possible for a carbon. We learned that back in Zvachim, Yoytze Joifen, also in Tamura, that a Yoytze Joifen is one of the types of animals that's possible for a korban. So therefore, Rashi...
make a moment before it comes out.
So that, no, that's not even, no, you don't even need to make
no,
a moment. That's by Bahar, but yeah. Oh. So therefore, in this case, if an animal was born by C-section and you were makdish that animal, it doesn't have kedusha zaguf. It only has kedusha damim. It's the equivalent of taking a rock and making and saying that it has kedusha, where it only has kedusha damim. You give it to the you sell it and you give the money to the gizbarim, or the gizbarim sell it as the case may be, whatever. Here it would be the same thing, which means in particular that when you poide it, it becomes completely chulin, as we learned in Bechoras. You're allowed to shear it. You're allowed to work with it. Once you're poided, it's as if it never had kedusha, because it only had kedusha damim in the first place. Okay. So Reb Shimon will agree with that. My time, and now why is that? Gomer leida leida mebuchar, because he will learn a zeta shava on the word leida from a bechor of an animal. You have by kodshim, you have the expression shurei ketiva eiz ki yivolid. By Bechor, you also have the word kala Bechor asher yivolid, the karcha, etc. We read it on the last days of each of the three Yom Tovim. Yeah. So therefore, so we learn from that word yivolid. Ma hosam peter rechem, just like in the case of Bechor, it has to be peter rechem, so it has to be the first one that opens the womb, meaning it has to come out of the womb the normal way, vaginally. Afkan peter rechem, the same way when it comes to animals of Kodshim. They have to have been born normally, and if they were born by C-section, then they can't have kedusha of a carbon, and therefore Reb Shimon would agree to that. Only when it comes to people does he say it's considered a regular birth, but by a baby not, by an animal not.
Can they be counted by Tamasha Behema?
If I remember correctly, we said in Bechoras that no. I don't remember that for sure, but I think we said that no, because for that reason. I think we had a list of animals over there that are disqualified from being counted for Maisa Behema. I'm pretty sure Yotze Dofen was on that list.
And if it's a Bechor, it's not considered a Bechor.
Right. Okay, so the question is, V'ligma leida leida me Adam, why is he learning the Gzera Shava from Bechor? Instead, he should be learning from a person, where we said over here that Kaled, according to him, means including a C-section. So why don't we learn Gzera Shava from Yivoled to Kaled? Okay, it's not the exact same word, fine, but it's the same Shurish, yeah?
But rather look from animal to animal.
Ma'ahosim yotze dofen, afkan yotze dofen. You would say then that just like by a person, Reb Shimon would say that a baby born by C-section is still considered a regular birth, afkan yotze dofen. The same thing by other kodshim. Fine, Bechor would be an exception, because Peter left them, but by all the other kodshim.
So that's how he
slugged it up? Well, no, not slugging up. We're asking the question. Why doesn't he learn that way? The answer is, it's more logical to say that we would learn from Bechor, shekein imoy me imoy. Because by both them, you have by both Bechor and other Kodshim, the Pasuk uses the expression Imoi, that it has to be able to be for a certain amount of time with its mother. By Bechor, you have Shivas Yom Yiyem Imoi in Parshas Mishpatim. For a minimum of 7 days, you have to leave it with his mother, and only on the eighth day can he bring it as a carbon. Other animals of Kodshim also, in Parshas Emor, Shivahoya Shivas Yom Kachas Imoi. So both of this is not really it's not really a Gzeir Shava, but it does mean that in both cases the Torah mentions that it has to be with Imoi as opposed to by the mother. As opposed to by a human, it doesn't use the word Imoi. So therefore, yeah. So the question is, on the other hand, though, maybe you should argue that there's more logical reason to learn from a person, because when it comes to learning Kodshim from Bechor, you're learning a Poshut, you're learning a non-Bechor from a Bechor. You're saying that just like a Bechor has to be Peter Rechem, so any other animal, Kodshim, even if it's not firstborn of its mother, has to be born normally. But instead, if you learn from a person, you would say you're learning a Poshut from a Poshut. The din that Reb Shimon is saying in our Mishnah obviously doesn't apply only to a Bechor. It applies no matter what number baby this is in the family. And the same thing with you made Tumah and Tara, and that you have to. And the same thing by animals of Kodshim. They don't have to be the firstborn in their. They don't have to be the firstborn from their mother, right? Any animal, even if it was born second or third or tenth or whatever from its mother, it can still be used as Kodshim. So why don't we learn that? In that case, we should better be learning Poshut from Poshut. Okay, so the Gemara says Poshut means non-Bechor. Poshut means non-Bechor. Okay, the Gemara says you're right. So we abandon that. We're not learning from the Gzeder Shava later, because you're right, we could have just as well used a similar Gzeder Shava when it comes to people. But no. However, we still will say that we're learning from Bechor, but for a different reason. We're going to learn better from Bechor, Shekane, because we have a lot of things in common between a Bechor, an animal Bechor, and animals that are Kodshim. Number one, aim. We have the word aim, the word imoi, that says by both of them. Behemas. Both of them are behemas kodshim. Both of them are animals of kodshim. So that answers what you were saying before. Yeah, we're learning. We prefer to learn animals from animals. Pigul nos of atome. And both of them, pigul nos and atome, apply to both bechor and other kodshim. Therefore, you have a lot of things in common. So the question is, on the other hand, you should argue that it's more logical to learn from a person, from a human birth that we're talking about in our Mishnah, Shekane Poshut, because we just said before that both of them are Poshut, they're not Bechorim, as opposed to a Bechor Behema is a Bechor. It's a different situation. Zohar, in both, when it comes to people or Kodshim, it's not only males, as opposed to a Bechor is only a male animal. So that's another thing that Kodshim and human births have in common. Also Kodosh, also neither a human birth nor Kodshim are automatically Kodesh. Human birth, he's not Kodesh. He has no particular Kedusha, a regular baby. And an animal of Kodshim wasn't born Kodesh either. You declare it Kodesh afterwards, as opposed to a Bechor, because it's Kodesh right away when it's born. It's an automatic Kedusha. So it's a different kind of thing. And Bimaktana. And you have another difference, that Kodshim and people are not Matnas Kohona, as opposed to a Bechor, Behema is one of the 24 Matnas Kohona. So you have a lot of things in common between Kodshim and people. The answer is, though, as the Gemara often does, Hanach Nefishin. Okay, but the number of similarities that we had between Bechor, Behema, and Kodshim is greater than the number that you have between Kodshim and people. Between Kodshim and people, right. So therefore, so that wins out. Fine. So Rav Shimon will agree that when it comes to Kodshim, that a baby born by C-section cannot have Kedusha, because we learn from Bechor, and the reason why we learn from Bechor rather than learning from a person is based on the greater number of similarities. Okay. We have a brisa that supports what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that Rabbi Shimon will agree that a yotze dofen, that an animal born by C-section, cannot be Kodshim. We have a braisa like this. We learned in Zvachim a lot of times about the concept of when we say that something that is possible to go on the Mizbeach, sometimes we say, im olu lo yodu, that if they were placed on the Mizbeach to the Eved, you don't take them off. Sometimes we say, im olu yodu, even if they were placed on the Mizbeach, you still take them off. So we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Zvachim. Yeah, we learned this a lot of times. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the pasuk says Zois Toras Ha'Ola, Ki Ha'Ola. You have the pasuk we say every day in davening. This is the Torah of the Ola. It is the Ola. That pasuk is where we learn the whole concept of Imolu Lo Yehudu. Because the pasuk is saying, "Hiya oila al moikta." Once it was placed on the burning fire of the mizbeach, then you don't take it then. On the other hand, you have the word zois as a miut, only this, but not other things. He is also a miut, and ha oila is also a miut because it means only something oila, which is a kosher to oila. Well, only something which is kosher to go on the mizbeach. You have three miut.
If we had said just zois oila,
if the pasuk had just said Torah ha oila, then it would mean anything that goes on a mizbeach you don't take down, even
not
though it should. Right, it would have meant anything that goes up onto the mizbeach, even though it wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe you don't take down, but because you have zois and he and ha'ola, those are three miyotim to say that there are three cases with three kinds of things where we do take over. So what does that mean? Prasla nishchata v'layla. Number one, it means, Rabbi Yehuda says, as opposed to if the korban was shechted at night, which is possible. Number two, v'shenishvach dama, or where the blood spilled on the ground and was never caught in a keli, as we learned in Zvachim, if it was never caught in a keli, then you can't even collect it from the ground and sprinkle it. If it was caught in a keli, and then they... There's no Kabbalah, exactly. If they caught an Akali and then they spilled it, then yeah, you can collect it.
You learn also that if there's a time you could take a collection from it.
That's what we said. If it spilled from the Mizrach, if you collected it in the Mizrach and then it spilled, then you're allowed to gather it off the floor. If it went from the neck directly onto the ground, then yeah. And number three, if the blood was taken outside of the Azara, then it's full. So in all of those, also tailored. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in those three cases, because of those three miyotim, in those three cases, we say even if you put the pieces of that korban on the mizbeach, you take them all. But any other psul, such as Rabbi Shimon is going to give us now a long list of psulim, where he says im olu yeridu, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that list. He says only these three. Rabbi Shimon on the other hand says, oila, he learns from the word oila, so we say again that the oila stays on the mizbeach, implying that other things don't. Aim the ela oila sheva. See, first of all, you would think it only applies if the oila is kosher. Minayim the rabbis shenishchata b'layla. How do we know to include also it was shechted at night? And that in other words, that he says it does stay on the mizbeach, but im olu loyer. He's arguing, yes. V'shenishbach dama, or if the blood was spilled, v'sheyotze dama chutz lakloim, or the blood was taken outside the azara. So all of those, yes, the korban is possible, but nevertheless, you still leave it on. And also, he brings a bunch of other ones also. V'halon, if it was left overnight, Rashi and Tosfos over here explain that it means that the blood was left after shkia and became possible. In other places, actually, there are other places, in Zvachim, for example, they put it in a keli and then left the keli, right. In other places, Rashi explains that lon means that the emurim were left overnight. Anyway, so how lon?
If
the pieces were left on top of the mizbeach, then lina doesn't apply, right? Or if the meat of the korban was taken outside the azara, for example, what there was an oila, or the meat was left over, or the emurim were left over beyond the proper time, or was shechted with a thought of pigul, which is chutzlus manei, intended to sprinkle the blood or eat the meat or whatever outside of the proper time, or he intended to do it outside the azara, which makes it possible, or a Kohen who was possible, or anybody who was possible for that matter, received the blood in the keli, or sprinkled it on the mizbeach. And also, b'hanitonin l'mayla shenitshenosin l'mata, what about you have a korban where the blood was supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach, and instead they put it on the bottom half? So we said, we learned many times in Zvachim, that the chatas behema and the oilas ha'oif, the blood goes on the top half of the mizbeach. All other korbanos of behema and the oilas ha'oif, the blood goes on the bottom half. The chatas ha'oif and most korbanos behema, it goes on the bottom half. The oilas ha'oif and the chatas behema, it goes on the top half. So you have a korban where the blood was supposed to go on the top half, above the chutah sikra, shenostan lamata, you put them on the bottom half by mistake, vaniton lamata shenostan lamayla, or blood that was supposed to go on the bottom half that he put on the top half by mistake. Or blood that was supposed to be sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, most korbanos, and he took it inside the heichal and sprinkled it over there. Or korbanos like the korbanos of Yom Kippur and the par helam davar shel tzibur and whatever, where the blood is supposed to be sprinkled inside the heichal, and instead he put them on the outer mizbeach. Or a Pesach v'achatas sheshochten shelo l'shman, or a korban Pesach or a korban chatas that was shechted shelo l'shman, where we learned in the beginning of Zvachim that those are the only two korbanos where if they're shechted shelo l'shman are completely possible, as opposed to all other types of korbanos. We said if they're shechted shelo l'shman, the korban in itself is kosher, just the owner hasn't been yotze his chiyuv. So in all those cases, minayin, says Rav Shimon, how do we know that in all those cases, if such korbanos were placed on the mizbeach, we still leave them there? Tamad lema, zois torah sa'ola, riba, torah achas, b'chol ola. Therefore, the pasuk says, this is the torah of the ola, meaning we have one torah included for everything that goes on the mizbeach, shim olo lo yodu, that if they were placed on the mizbeach, then they don't get taken down from the mizbeach.
Why does he rebuild
for it? No, so he doesn't hold that zois torah sa'ola are ribuyim. He just says, but I'm focusing on the word torah. But wait. He does say there was a miut over here from the word zois. Yachol shani marba. You would think in that case we should also include other kinds of psulim. Esareveya v'anuva, an animal that was used for bestiality, active or passive. V'hamukta, an animal that was set aside to be used as a korban for avodah zarah. V'hanevar, an animal that was actually worshipped as avodah zarah. The esnan, an animal that was used as the fee to pay to a zoyna, we talked about that, and we talked about the dinim of that in the Masechta Tmura. The amchir, or an animal that was used as an exchange for a dog, we also learned about that over there. As the Torah says that such animals can't be. Mukta was the person designated it to be brought as a korban for avodah zarah. We learned in Tmura, we had the story over there of Gidon and Sefer Shoftim, where his father had an ox that he'd been fattening up for 7 years intending to bring it as a korban, and Hashem tells Gidon to bring it as a korban. That was an exceptional thing. We said there were a bunch of things that usually are also that were mutter on that at that time, and one of them as a one-off thing, as a hodas tra, and one of them was that it was a mukta.
An animal that's been designated for the mizbeach, how do you call it?
It's called hekdesh.
No, but the hekdesh could be without the mizbeach.
Okay, so it's called hekdesh mizbeach. So that has to do with the goat.
Yeah.
Muktim.
He was fattening up for.
No. So Gideon's father. Yeah, the whole story over there in Sefer Shoftim. Gideon's father and many other Jews were Oved Avodah Zarah, and Gideon himself was chosen by Hashem to be the one to save the Jewish people from Midian. So Hashem tells Gideon, you have to make a public display of getting rid of your father's Avodah Zarah. One of them is he has this ox that he's been fattening up for 7 years for Avodah Zarah, to bring as a korban to Avodah Zarah. You have to take that ox and bring it as a korban and take the altar that he has for Baal over there and tear it down and use that altar instead to build a mizbeach for Hashem and take the wood of his Asherah tree and use it for firewood, etc. So Gemara says over there you had like seven or eight things that usually are also usually not allowed to use wood from an Asherah, for example, for the mizbeach or whatever. So a bunch of exceptional things. Yes, so he did it. Well, the next morning, everybody woke up and found that everything is destroyed, and they were very angry, and they want to kill Gideon. But his father says, you know what, if Baal is really a god, then he can fight on his own behalf. You don't have to fight on his behalf. Yeah, it's a whole story over there. Wow.
He
leaves
it.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of them doing tshuva, and eventually they won. Okay, anyway. That's mukta, yeah, v'hanevad, v'esnan, v'amachir, v'akilayim, or an animal that's kilayim, like a crossbreed between a sheep and a goat, for example, v'atrefa, an animal that's trefa, v'yotzedosen, and here's the key thing, v'yotzedosen, an animal born by C-section.
Trefa, we have
trefa, trefa means that it has one of the 70 conditions of the Rambam list that would make the animal trefa.
No, but we don't have trefa in this whole list before.
No, we didn't. No. So you would think maybe that those also, Zois Torah Sa'ola includes them also. So you took one of these types of animals and shechted it as a korban, and you put the pieces on them as deach, maybe you wouldn't take them down. No, Tamad Lema Zois. Therefore, the pasuk says Zois, which is a miut, which means that you don't leave them on. So the question is, Reb Shimon continues, Amara Isalu Rabbis as Elu Lahoti as Elu. So once we have, if we have a ribui from the word Torah, and we have a miut from the word Zois, Why are you including the things in the first list, and why are you excluding the things in the first list? Why are you saying, for example, that if the korban was shechted at night, then we said him olu lo yerdu, but we're saying if the korban was a reveya or nirba, then him olu yerdu. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
The difference is acha shiriba kosev umir. Reb Shimon would say once we have a ribui in the pasuk and we have a mir, a marta. So we have to use logic. We have to say marbanias elu shoyut psulon bakodesh. We're going to include all the ones that are in the first list, which the psul took place in kodesh. We've talked about a lot of times that you have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in several places. Tosfos discusses it over here, among other things. That what does it mean psul and bakodesh? Does it mean the psul actually took place in the azara, or does it mean Tosfos mentions over here that it means the psul can only take place after you were makdish it? For example, the concept that it's possible if it was shechted at night, that wouldn't apply if you hadn't been makdish it. Then it's a chulin animal and you're allowed to shecht at night. The same thing all the other things. Nishbach. Yeah, you're allowed to shech kolon at night. Practically speaking, you're supposed to have a bright light over there to make sure that you know what you're doing. But whatever, yeah. But okay. As opposed to, for example, reveya and nirba are relevant before you were ever makdish it. The reveya and nirba already took place, and the animal has that stigma on it. So therefore, we're going to exclude the ones in the second list, the Reveya and Nirva list, where all of those was not Psul and Makodesh. Again, Rashi explains Psul and Makodesh means that it depends whether it was before it came to the Azara or afterwards. And Tosfos explains that it means that the Psul is not even relevant until you makdish it. These are the first list of things that are not even relevant to make it possible until you makdish it as a korban, whereas the second list, the Reveya and Nirva list, is relevant even before you makdish the animal. That the animal now has the stigma of being Reveya or Nirbo, Mukhtar, etc. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Katoni Mias, the bottom line is, why are we quoting this whole Braisa? We said in the Braisa, Rav Shimon had in his list, Yotze Dofen. And we see that he's saying that it's on the list where not only it can't be brought as a korban, but even Im Olu Yodu. So, my lab, Katoni Mias, Yotze Im Olu Yodu, that even if you put them on the Mizbeach, you take them off. So it's completely disqualified from the Mizbeach. So Yotani Mias Yotze Dofen Deloy. That Yotze Dofen is off limits as a korban. My lav Yotze Dofen to Kodshim. Presumably we have to be talking about a Yotze Dofen of any kind of Kodshim. So then that would prove. That was the reason why we brought this was we said Rav Chia Breda Rav Huna said in the name of Rava that this Braisa supports what Rav Yechanan said, that Rav Shimon agrees, Rav Shimon who says in our Mishnah that a Yotze Dofen by a human baby is considered a regular birth, he would say differently when it comes to animals. This Braisa seems to say exactly that. The answer is not necessarily. Omer of Huna Breda of Nasan Loi, Yotze Dofen de Bechor. Not necessarily. It could be talking about a case of an animal that would have been a Bechor and then was born by C-section. Maybe only in that case, Rav Shimon is saying that it's completely disqualified and in Olu Yodu. Not necessarily is he saying that that's true of other types of Kachim. Yeah? A Tana doesn't always have to specify. The Amoroim, when the Amoroim say something that's equivocal, they're expected to clarify it. But the Tanoim, not necessarily. Tanoim are before the Amoroim, yeah. So the question is, what do you mean? B'chor mi'petzer rachem nasa. What do you mean? We don't need the word zois tora sa'ola to tell us that that's disqualified. Petzer rachem tells us, by definition, a b'chor is only a b'chor if it's petzer rachem, and this wasn't because it was born by C-section. Obviously it must be, it's applying to all kodshim. So the question is, elamide kodshim. So what are you saying then, that this thing that he's mentioning, that he's mentioning the Yotze Dofen does indeed apply to all the kodshim? Well then, me imo nafka. We learned from the fact that by Bechor it says imo, and by other kodshim it also says imo, and therefore that we're saying just like a Bechor can't be a C-section baby, neither can other kodshim. So again, we don't need the word zois for that either. But either way you look at it, why does he need to have Yotze Dofen's list if anyway it's possible on the grounds, on other grounds? Okay, so the Gemara says, hi, Mai. What kind of a response is that? I can show you, there's a big difference. If you say that the Yotze Dofen that Rav Shimon is talking about in the Braisa is all Kodshim, well, then that would explain why we need two psukim, why we need the limud for imoy, as well as we need the word zois, because One would be talking about you have a regular animal of cholin that gave birth by C-section, and later on you will makdish the baby. So then we're saying that it can't have kedusha because it was born by C-section. And the other one would be you had a mother animal that was already designated as kodshim, and then it was pregnant, and then it gave birth via C-section. And so what would be the second one? Because of Vladis Kodshim, Bahava Yasin, and Kedoshim. This, he would hold that babies of Kodshim become Kodosh when they're born. We had a machlokas in Tzmura and in some other places. When you have an animal, a Kodshim, that's pregnant, do we say that the baby in the womb is already Kodosh even before it's born? Or do we say it only becomes Kodosh when it's born, when it comes out? If we take the view that it only becomes Kaddish when it's born, then in this case, usually if it had been born regular, it would have gotten Kedusha at that point. But because it was born by C-section, then it's disqualified. So therefore, so you need a separate pasuk for that, because otherwise you would have thought. Now, Rashi takes out these words, Kasava Vladis Kaddish and Bava Yasin Kedusha. Because Rashi says, what do you mean? I mean, and according to the other opinion, Mishach Yitzirah and Kedusha, that they're Kaddish even in the womb. All the more so, you need a pasuk to tell us that it would have been Kaddish as long as it was born naturally, but now it was born by C-section, that's disqualified. So according to Rashi, there's no reason to mention over here the Vladis Kodshim, Bava Yasin, and Kedoshim business, because either way, however you look at it, it's a baby of Kodshim, you would have thought that it still has Kedusha because of its mother, Agav's mother, and therefore we need the word Zois to tell us that not, because it was born by C-section. So why is it relevant to mention over here the question Bava Yasin, and Kedoshim?
So Rashi
takes out those words from the Gemara. Tosfos, on the other hand, leaves them in, because Tosfos says what it means is that we'd be saying according to that opinion, even though you didn't have you, if you say that they're Kaddish already in the womb, then sure, they were Kaddish at one point, and now they're born later on by C-section, and you're talking about does the Kaddisha go away or not? But we're talking even according to the opinion that Bahavi Yasin and Kedoshim, they're Kaddish when they're born, so they didn't actually have Kedusha before they were born, and therefore you would think that they didn't have Kedusha before they became Postal, which means they should have a higher level of Kedusha. Nevertheless, we don't say that because ultimately it was born by C-section.
But should it have a higher level?
Because there's a difference whether we learned throughout Seder Kodshin, that there's a difference whether you makdish an animal that already has a psul, as Rashi said before, but the C-section baby, it never gets Kedusha that grew up in the first place, versus where you have an animal that you will makdish and later on it develops a psul. So here it would be the same.
You makdish it when it was a tummy,
when it had no problem.
No,
just a regular animal, yeah. There's a difference, for example, let's say with a Baal Mum, there's a difference whether you were makdish an animal and later on it developed a mum, versus you had an animal that was a Baal Mum and then you were makdish it. There's a big difference. In the first case, it has Kedusha growth, and when you put it, it's still going to be also to shear and to work with and to use the milk, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, in the second case, where the soul came first, then, like Rashi said before, it's like Eitzim Baal Banim, it's like wooden stone. It never had Kedusha growth in the first place. So over here, Tosfos says, the point the Gemara wants to make is that even though in this case, you had the hektish and the psul came at the same time, because the moment it's born is the moment when it should be becoming kaddish if it was born normally, and therefore the pasuk is telling us that nevertheless it's still not considered to have the higher level of kedusha that would make it that you put it that if you put it on the mizbeach you don't take it off. So according to Tosfos, because that's what the pasuk is telling us by the word zois, that you would have thought that maybe, and therefore you need the word zois, because it didn't have a soul before you were makdish, right? Okay.
Okay. So for these two types of kedusha, this is good for kedusha. One you would put on, you wouldn't take off one.
No, so we're saying that the point Rav Shimon was making was that only if it was psula bakodesh do you leave it on. Neither of these kinds is psula bakodesh. Whether it developed a womb before you were marked the shadow afterwards, either way, im olu yeru, because the psula was not bakodesh. So the point is, Tosfos is saying, though, that we would have still thought, in this case, where the psula and the kedusha happen at the same time, because it's becoming kodesh as born, but it's also becoming possible at the same time, because it's a yotadopin, you might have thought, you might have thought that it still has the higher level of kedusha, that it has kedusha as a group, and therefore the word zois tells us that not. Right. So if we say that Reb Shimon's statement about Yotzei Dofen applies to all Kodshim, then there's a Chiddush in it. There's a Chiddush. There's something that you have the word Imoi. We have the Limud from Bechor. We have a separate thing over here specifically for Yotzei Dofen. And we're saying one applies where the mother was Chulin and the other one applies where the mother was Kodshim. Eli Yamat the Bechor, but if you're going to say that the Reb Shimon is only talking about a Bechor, all you have is you have the word peter rechem, or by definition, a bechor can only be peter rechem. You don't need another pasuk. There's no two different types of bechor. So therefore, so obviously, Reb Shimon must be talking about other kinds of kodshim. And there you go. Therefore, this braisa is a support for what Reb Yechanan said. In fact, it's logical to say that. Because after all, the Mishnah mentioned other types of psulim that apply to other kodshim as well, which we don't learn those from. We don't learn those from any comparison with bechor, and they don't apply exclusively to bechor. They apply to all kodshim. So therefore, it's logical to say that the Yotzei Dofen also applies to all of them, and that we're not specifically restricting it to bechor. So therefore, any Yotzei Dofen. So the question is, Hani Mehocha Nafka. So are you telling me we're learning the soul of these animals from the word Zeus? Mehosam Nafka. We have a whole different limud where we learn that Reveya and Nirba and Mukta and Nevad are excluded. We have not from the word Zeus. We have a braisa that says, when the pasuk says in Parashas Vayikra, that if you bring a korban min ha-behema, odem ki yakov mekem korban min ha-behema, min is a miut, only some behemoths, not all of them. So min ha-behema, lohotzi ha-reveya v'anirba, that comes to exclude a reveya and nirba, that they're disqualified as korbanos. Min ha-bokor, that the whole pasuk goes, odem ki yakov mekem korban la-shem, min ha-behema, min ha-bokor, or min ha-tzor. So you have three mins over there, mins, yeah, right. So min ha-behema, lohotzi ha-reveya v'anirba. No, all of them are, because according to said, ha-behema ha-bokor ha-son. Min ha-bokor lohotzi ha-son-neva. The word min ha-bokor comes to exclude an animal that was worshipped as a avodah zarah. Min ha-son lohotzi ha-son-mukta. U-min ha-son. It doesn't say min ha-son, it says u-min ha-son. So you have an extra vav as well that you can dash in. Lohotzi ha-son-negeach. That comes mute, actually. That comes to exclude an animal that gored somebody and killed him. So all of those were mamayat from those sukkim. The two, kilayim me'och ha-nafka. And also, we had in the Shimon's list, we had kilayim, an animal that's kilayim. But are we learning that kilayim is possible from the word zois? Mehosim nafka, kilayim me'och ha-nafka. Are we learning it from here? Mehosim nafka. We have a whole different pasuk that teaches us that kilayim is possible for a korban. Because the pasuk says, shor oikete v'yeh, the pasuk mentions in Parshas Emor, an ox or a sheep or a goat.
Kilayim
means a crossbreed. Let's say between a sheep and a goat. No, a mosaic or something else. Mosaic we learned about in Bechoros. We had a concept called nidmeh. We had an animal that even though genetically it belongs to one species, it looks like a different species. For example, it was born from a sheep mother and a sheep father, but it looks like a goat. Let's say that's a nidmeh. So we said, shur, prat l'kilayim, the word shur means as opposed to an animal's kilayim, oi a's prat l'nidmeh. And then when it says, or an a's, that means as opposed to a nidmeh. And there's this animal that we just talked about, that's a mutant that looks like a different that looks like a different kind of animal. So therefore, obviously, such animals, so all the ones we just mentioned, reveya, nirba, mukta, nevad, and kilayim, they're all obviously chulin. They can never have kedushas aguf. And if they can't have kedushas aguf, what do we need the word zois to tell us that you can't keep them on the mizbeach? Obviously, plain chulin you would never keep on the mizbeach. So why do we need... Fine, but the point is that once we're dealing with that, we're dealing with the... Yeah.
They didn't have a chance to become clean.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but where do you learn Yotzei
Dofen? Yotzei Dofen, fine. He said that we learned already Yotzei Dofen. We said that we're learning from Bechor. We said from Imoi. The fact that it says Imoi by Bechor and it says Imoi by other Kodshim teaches us that the same rules apply to both. They both have to be Peter. Ela itzrichu treikroi. No, so rather what we'll say is like this. We do need two psukim. The answer is just like by Yotzei Dofen, we said we need two psukim. Chad la behemas cholin, v'chad la behemas kodshim. One where the mother was cholin, and the other one where the mother was kodshim, because that's what we just said. We would have thought that a baby born by C-section to behemas kodshim maybe would have different rules. The same thing. Hochanami, itzrich tzrei kroi. The same thing. We can say as far as the reveya and nirba and so forth that we need two psukim. One to tell us where it was cholin, and then you were makdish it, and the other one to tell us where it was kodshim, and then one of these things happened. for example, that it was Kodshim and then it became Reveya or Nirva. Or its mother was Kodshim, but the mother was crossbred with a different species and then has Kilayim. Or no, Yotz Dofen we already dealt with before. Yeah.
So one pasuk would be
teaching us, for example, the pasuk min habehem, lahotzia reveya ba nirba. That means you can't take a holen animal that was reveya or nirba and be makdish it. It doesn't work. And the other one teaches us, even if you had an animal that, or the other word, the word zeis, teaches us that even if you had an animal that already was made kodshim and then it was reveya or nirba, you can't bring it as a korban. And if you do, you have to take it off the mizbeach.
So you need two psukim. Two for each time it was.
One for where it started holen and one for where it started as kodshim. Right. Okay. So that's that, therefore. So the bottom line is, therefore, that yes, once we understand it that way, then yes, the Braisa does indeed support what Rabbi Yochanan says, that Rabbi Shimon would agree that when it comes to animals, the rules are different for people. A Yotze Dofen is disqualified with any kind of korban, not just a bechor.
And we take it from animals.
Ultimately, what we're saying is we learn it from Bechor of animals. So Bechor has to be Peter Rechem. So therefore, and by Bechor it says Imoy. The same thing, other Korbanos, it says Imoy. And therefore, they also have to be Peter Rechem. And in addition, we said that even if the C-section baby was born to an animal that's already Kodshim, we said the word Zois teaches us that it stays off the Mizbeach. And even if you put it on the Mizbeach, you take it down, it's not allowed to stay on the Mizbeach. Getting back to, okay, so that was all a side issue to deal with what Rav Shimon would say about Yotze Dofen when it comes to animals. Now let's get back to human births.
Now this first half is human, which officially he said you go around, you keep it on.
Right.
That's halacha.
Yes, the halacha is like Rav Shimon in that case.
Back to Rabbi Yochanan?
Rabbi Yehuda, you mean? No, so
which halacha are you
talking about? The question of which list of things are kept on the Mizbeach versus which things are taken off.
Right.
Yeah. I think actually what it is, I mean, if you look at Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, you have over here references both by Rabbi Yehuda's Prat Mishnishchat Avalayla as well as Rabbi Shimon's Halon Va'ayotze Va'atomei. So I think what it is is actually we say Rabbi Yehuda says that those three. So the halacha basically is like Rabbi Yehuda. So when it's not Psula Bakodesh, which is Rabbi Shimon's second list, everybody agrees in all of Yehuda. When it comes to Psalm Bakodesh, then you have Rabbi Yehuda's list of three things that also in Olu Yehudu. All other Psalm Bakodesh, which are all the other ones that Rabbi Shimon listed, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with, and that's what it is. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, getting back to human births now, Tanan Abanan, Hamakasha Shloshi Yomim, the woman has bleeding together with pain, as we learned in the previous parak, Shloshi Yomim, for 3 or more days, the Yosef Vlad Derech Dofen, and then at the end of the 3 days, the baby was born by C-section, Harezu Yeletis Bezoiv, then now she has the din of a woman who gave birth as a Zav. Not really gave birth, according to the Chachamim, because not considered that she gave birth as far as the din of Tumah V'Tahara, but it means she's a Zav. In other words, even though in the previous parak we learned that Dam Koshi is Tahar, as long as there wasn't Dam Shofi after it, but over here, since it was born by C-section and there wasn't considered to be a birth, then we said that, then we say she's a Zav, a plain old Zav.
You know, how many days
even,
was it?
It was 3 days. Oh. It was 3 days during the 11 days. Rav Shimon Omer Einzu Yeletis Bezoiv. Rav Shimon says she's not Yeletis Bezoiv because Rav Shimon follows his Shitta in the Mishnah. It's considered a regular birth, so therefore the Dam Koshi for the 3 days before it is considered Dama Machmas. Is considered Dama Machmas Vlad, not Machmas Asna, and therefore it's Tahar.
So the Dam Koshi only applies to a Yeletis.
Only applies to an actual Yeletis, right?
According to the first one, we understand that the reason why there was Dam Koshi because she ended up having C-section.
Right, but no, she had Dam Koshi. In other words, that she had Dam Koshi. Well, there was a Vlad, but according to the Chacham, it's not considered a regular Leda. Because they said, that we're learning from the word Ishaki Kazriya, that's not considered a regular birth. So therefore, they say, so we don't have the dispensation for Dam Koshi then. So it's considered like a regular Zava. Whereas Rav Shimon says,
because
there was no birth afterwards, right. In fact, Tosfos points out, we actually, you know, we discussed earlier in the first parak, we asked about the question, we talked about a case, for example, where a woman ends up miscarrying nothing, like an empty sack or something, and we said that the Gemara discussed over there the possibility maybe her Dam Koshi should be Tahar. She doesn't have Yimei Tumah V'Yimei Tahara over there because there was no baby, but we still bring up the possibility that Dam Kishri should be Tahar. Why here would we say different? The answer is, Tosfos says, because there at least you can discuss the question, can that be considered a birth? The Arab pasuk that mentions giving birth to wind, yolad meruach. But over here, you have an explicit pasuk. You have the word isha ki sazria that tells us not considered a birth. So therefore, there's no question the chachamim would say it can't be. Shulia is different. Ain't shulia below vlad, but like an empty sack, like at a very early stage of the pregnancy. So like it's not a full fledged shulia. No, it's just like a sack without a placenta or whatever attached to it. Okay. Fine. Then the Braisa continues, but Dam Hayotzi Misham Tomei, blood that comes out of the womb, and we'll see soon what that means, is Tomei, but Reb Shimon says it's Tahar. So let's understand the Braisa. The Shlema Reisha, I can understand the first part of Braisa, is she considered as Zava or not, Reb Shimon Latayim Eiv, Rabbanon Latayim Ayot. Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon are going according to their respective opinions. The Chachamim don't consider this to be a birth, therefore there's nothing to be Matahar the Dam Koshi, therefore she's a regular Zava. Reb Shimon says it's considered a birth, therefore you have the special rules of Dam Koshi. Because he considers it to be a regular Vlad. El of Sefer B'maisligi, but what are they arguing about in the Sefer? If obviously, on the face of it, blood that's coming out through the side, through the C-section incision, you can't say that it should be Tomei like the blood, like blood of birth, because then the other way around, Reb Shimon, who considers it a regular birth, should be Matame, that blood, and the Chachamim should be Matare. Why are we saying the Chachamim are Matame and Reb Shimon is Matare? Obviously,
so the blood that comes out of the
it's coming out of the side, the same incision, yeah. So what's going on over there? Amar Ravina, Kugan Shiyotza Vlad Derech Dosen. So Ravina says the case would be the baby came out by C-section through the side. The Dam Derech Rechem. Meanwhile, you had blood during the 3 days of Koshi was coming out through the womb. Therefore, Ba'azir Rav Shimon Taimei, Rabbanon Taimei. So again, Rav Shimon is going according to his shita. Since afterward the baby was born by C-section, that means the 3 days of Koshi before that are Tahor, because it's Machmas Vlad. And the Chachamim disagree, and therefore they would say it's Tom.
Regardless.
Yeah, because according to them, it's not considered that there was a birth over here, because the C-section birth is not considered a birth.
Even came out of blood, even the blood comes out.
Yeah.
Even though the Chachamim, I mean, it can't do us, we know the blood came out from the...
It came out, but it was Dam Koshi. We learned in the previous parak that you have a special thing for Dam Koshi, that as long as it's Machmas Vlad, then it's not Matameh. The Chachamim are saying it's not Machmas Vlad, because in the end, the baby was born by C-section. Reb Shimon would say, but it's considered a normal birth. He considered it as a normal birth, as we said, even to Taylor. Yeah. Mask is for Rabbi Yosef. However, Rabbi Yosef asks on that. We can't say that's what the Braisa means. Chod or Dahina Resha. Number one, then it amounts to the same thing as the Resha. There's no reason to present the same machlokes twice.
What do you mean? It's not like
well, in the Resha, you're saying Reb Shimon says she's Tomei from the birth, and the Chachamim say Reb Shimon says that she's not a Zava, and the Chachamim say she is. And in the second case also, the Chachamim are saying she's a Zava, and Reb Shimon is saying she's not. So it's the same. Yes, yeah, so it's the same exact thing. But oi, Nisham. Also, when the Braisa says the word from there, Makom Vlad Mashma, that doesn't imply that it came out from there vaginally, when the baby itself came out through the side. It implies that that blood came out from the same place the baby did.
It was cut.
From the cut, yeah. So what does that mean?
Not from what we're saying, that the blood went one way.
Not like Ravina wants to explain it, exactly. El Omer Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says no. The case, the second case in the Braisa is different. We're talking about that, yes, the baby and the blood came out derech dofen, but so what's the machlokas in the second part of the braisa over mocker mekome tomei komifugi? They're arguing on the question, do we say that the mocker, that the womb itself is considered to be a place of tumah, and therefore that any blood that comes out of it is automatically tumah? We learned about this concept in the second text. Marasava Mokra Makoma Tomei or Marasava Mokra Makoma Tahor? The Chachamim will say, the Chachamim will say Mokra Makoma Tomei, so the blood itself, even though it came out Derech Dofen, so it's not a Re'iyah, it doesn't make her Tomei as a Nidah for 7 days, but the blood itself is Matame B'maga because it touched the Mokra. They say Mokra Makoma Tomei, so the blood itself is Matame like anything that a person touches. So if she herself touches it with her fingers or what have you, then she'll be Tomei, then she'll have to go to the mikvah, and she'll be Tahor that evening. Okay. Just like if she had touched the Sheret or what have you.
Just one day,
not 7 days, right?
Searching one day very happy with
it. Okay, well, nowadays, we don't have to be careful about Tumah Tahara anyway. Anyway, that's a Chum would say that. At Umar Sava, Mokar Mekayim Tahar. Reb Shimon says no such thing, Mokar Mekayim Tahar. So therefore, the blood itself is not Tame, because it didn't come out vaginally. It came out from the womb, but it came out from the side. It's a big deal. It's no different than blood from anywhere else on her body.
Which is Tahar,
sure.
It's probably after operation, given that leftover will come out from the regular mucker.
If it does, then fine. Then we can talk about it, if it's a tame or not. But
if it comes from both ways.
Well, whatever comes from one way, versus the other one.
From the wound and through the...
So whatever comes out vaginally will make her tome as a nidor or a zavah. Or actually, it's after a birth. Anyway, according to Reb Shimon, it's after a birth. So you're going to anyway have the regular 7 or 14 days of tome anyway. According to the Chachamim that we don't consider there was a birth. So it depends whether it's during the Yemei Nidor or the Yemei Ziva, whether she'll be a nidor or a zavah. Meanwhile, they will also say the blood that came out through the incision is also metame, but for a different reason. Not that it's metame as that it makes her a nidor or a zavah. It's just metame because blood that came from a place which is tame, and therefore it's similar in that sense to a sheriff or any other source of trauma like that. Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta when we first came across this concept of Mokar Mekayim Tomei. On Dr. Zion, Tosfos discusses over there that this whole concept might be exeris akostum, according to the opinion that Mokar Mekayim Tomei, because it's like this. I mean, it's too much base of stardom. It's a trauma inside her body. Why should it be metamei? But
it's not inside anymore.
It came from inside, and we're saying that.
Once it's open, it's considered inside.
Yeah, well, it's still in as long as it's inside her body. As long as it's inside her body, then you would still say Mokar Mekayim. You would still say Mokar Mekayim Tomei. The Mokar is able to be metame, the blood that touches it, even though it only touched her womb inside the body. And then it came out. Nevertheless, we'd say this is Xeris HaKosav. We'd say that we'd say Mokar Mekayim Tomei. So that's why the Chachamim are saying over here, therefore, that the blood itself is Tomei. Again, it just makes her Tomei for one day. But Shimon says, none of that. She's completely Tahar. She's Tahar as far as that. Meanwhile, from the birth, okay, she'll have the regular 7 or 14 days.
But not. Who's the one who holds that it's impossible if a child comes out, then blood comes out of
the mouth? Epshel psich v'kever b'lo dam or Epshel. We learned that back in the second parak, but there...
That wasn't
the Rabbanon against Reb Shimon, but here it's a Yotze Dofen anyway, it's a moot point. Epshel psich v'kever or Epshel psich v'kever is when the cervix, when the regular opening of the uterus is opening up. Here it's not.
No.
Psich v'kever means the opening of the natural opening of it, which is the cervix. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, but it's a shame.